I am John, Wookiee impersonator and a Eladrin warlock with the Warriors of the Stars. Along came Jason, my bearded friend. Fabulous secret ideas revealed to me the day he came to my house and said, I want to make a podcast! Only two others share this secret. Eric of the Loch Ness and Jacob. Together we started talking about toys, comics, games, and movies on the Super Awesome Geek Show!
I've discovered the crack that is Destiny.
Yay! Welcome to Destiny Crack! What are you playing it on?
PS4.
You need to add me!
Yes! I would love to.
You should join my clan!
I have a clan that is practically, like, extinct right now. I swear, there's, I think, three of us that play.
You're giving me World of Warcraft flashbacks here.
It's a lot. I was talking to my dad about it, and he was just like, wow, that sounds a lot. Like, wow.
It's wow, but without the content.
Can you have
World of Warcraft PTSD?
Probably.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can. I have Evercrack PTSD.
Oh my god, EverQuest.
Yay. Oh yeah. I played the original one for a little bit and
yeah, same here.
And by the time I got into it, it's like it was pretty old and like the graphics were pretty shit. But you know, but EverQuest 2, oh my god, that was my crack for I don't even know how long. I mean that was something that seriously almost ended relationships and took up far too much of my time that I can remember. People bitch about waiting for raids in Destiny, and I'm just like, oh, meow. You guys, you've never had to wait for 48 people to like get together.
Yeah, or 100 in Dark Age of Camelot.
Oh, God, no. Just not doing it.
So pretty much the point of my clan, to break the game. We've already found ways to break the game.
Nice.
The whole point. It's mostly a joke clan, but we keep trying. We like people to join our clan. We'll surround them in the common area, and we're like, hey, what's up? Your name is really offensive. You should join our clan.
Nice.
We'll have to talk MMOs on a show.
Yeah, that would be pretty fun.
It sounds like you guys have a lot to say. But today, I think we should start in on this before we get to...
Have you not started recording yet? I mean, have you not learned our lesson?
I did record that stuff, yeah.
Oh, okay.
See if we fit it in somewhere, yeah.
Well, hey, it's all part of our geekery. This is the one-year anniversary podcast. I mean, it pretty much means that we get free reign, right?
Yeah, kind of. We have a couple limited topics, but it's pretty wide open, yeah. So as Rob said, here we are, Super Awesome Geek Show. I'm John, your host, and this is our one-year anniversary episode.
Woohoo!
Yay!
So I'm joined by Rob, who woohooed, and Mad B, who's not going to say anything right now, and Jason Rigdon.
Hello.
Hi, Jason. The first thing I wanted to actually bring up for the 50th anniversary, I keep saying 50th anniversary. It's like 50th episode.
Dude, I'm not that old, man.
It's like 52nd episode, but I keep thinking 50th anniversary for something.
At some point, the show goes wrong. You go back in time.
That's the Barry Allen storyline. Yes, I'm actually Smadonnage from the future.
Yeah, from 50 years of doing this show, eventually it goes bad.
And I've had to come back in time with my chest gadget and redo the show.
Oh, no, dude. You had to have met up in the Wild Stallions future and come back to George Carlin in a phone booth. I mean, that's the way you really want to do it, right? Come on.
After 50 years, you realize the point where it went bad was the very first year.
Shit.
It was this episode we got derailed by Destiny. And I failed at trying to fix it.
Well, maybe somebody needs to buck up and do a Crota run.
But the first thing I wanted to ask you guys, we had sour news both. You know, George Carlin's passed, and Leonard Nimoy. Yes, and Jason brought up a good point. He's like, we should dedicate a little bit to Leonard Nimoy here on the show. And I guess my first thought was, I mean, you guys have all heard the news, right?
Oh yep. Yeah. I came back actually from a therapy session only to find out that Spock had died, which kind of crushed the rest of my day. So, yeah, I heard that one.
And then what I want to know is, like, what did he mean anything to you guys? Like, do you have any, like, favorite Leonard Nimoy moments or things that, like, you always knew that he was there when you were a kid, you know, listening to him either on, like, In Search Of or watching him as Spock or some of the other things that he did?
See him do crazy music videos?
Yeah.
Like, yes.
I guess just something that each of you remember about Leonard Nimoy. So, Rob, why don't you start? You might as well.
Oh, man. Spock was always my favorite character from original Trek. And I'll tell you, I mean, Leonard Nimoy, that character meant a lot to me because, I mean, he was the thinker of the group. He was the guy whose big brain could solve these horrible problems, you know, and then he could get around awful obstacles by outthinking his enemies. And I thought that was so amazing. You know, I mean, just the logic, the sheer brain power. I mean, dude was badass, but he could bring it if he needed to, you know? I mean, he always had a Vulcan nerve pinch in store for somebody if they decided to step to him.
Except for that episode where they stole his brain.
No! But yeah, you know, and then growing up with, you know, the Trek movies and whatnot too. I mean, Leonard Nimoy was kind of that, I don't know. I think he was kind of like a sci-fi grandfather figure for a lot of us who grew up in that generation.
Yeah.
You know, and then I think a lot of us sort of, I don't know, just really feel it I don't know. I don't think I ever thought of a time when he wouldn't be around personally. You know, it's just, I don't know. I guess we think that of all of our heroes. You know, we have kind of a picture of them in our mind and whatnot. And, you know, we know that they're human, but, you know, that they were, there's also something, you know, just much larger than that too.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, one of my heroes who is no longer with us.
Yeah, and speaking of his badassness, like, I always remember, like, do you think he would have killed Spock or Kirk in that in the arena?
Absolutely, not a doubt in my mind. I mean, well, you know,
I didn't even know there was a question about that.
I mean, dude, this is a dude in like the depths of Pon Far right here. So, yeah.
I love it. I love when they always parody. I mean, like every show ever has parodied that arena battle, and like I just saw it on Futurama last night when I had Futurama when I was going to sleep last night, and they played that episode where Fry and them had to fight in the arena, and they were all like,
"Oh God, yeah, no kidding." I love that shit.
Everyone parodies that, you know. It was even on Venture Brothers, right?
Oh God, it's been everywhere.
Yeah. But what about you, Mad? What's your memory of Leonard Nimoy?
Well, he's always been the cornerstone of Star Trek for me. So, to be honest, I don't know what I'm dealing with it still. I found out at work and I admit I shed some tears because that, I don't know. It's been a really crappy week, so that on top of everything else wasn't what I needed. but, oh God, I don't know. All I know is I'm going to miss him a lot. I was really kind of hoping he'd show up in the next new Star Trek movie. In fact, I think he was supposed to. But, I don't know. Like I said, I'm still dealing with it. It hurts. I really, really like him as an actor. Mm-hmm. So
I like him as a human being, too. That guy was an amazing dude.
I followed him on he's one of the few first people I followed on Twitter when I joined Twitter a few years back, and he was always really interesting. So, and he actually replied to people, which was cool. So,
it was last year where he offered to be anybody's honorary grandfather who wanted it.
Yes. So great.
Man, oh man.
And Jason, what about you?
There's a lot of stuff. I mean, the thing that always struck me really about him was his voice.
Yeah.
I mean, he had that really great voice. And
He was Galvatron.
Galvatron.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, God, he was.
And did anybody catch any of the like radio plays he did later? Like, there's that really fantastic War of the Worlds with a whole bunch of people from Star Trek, but it's done as a radio play. And he really is able to shine in there, because, I mean, he knows he's got that amazing voice, and, you know, he's, despite, you know, people joking, he's a good actor.
Yeah.
And this gives him a place to shine where he doesn't have to be kind of pigeonholed into the Spock, you know, character, which I'm sure is very hard to pull off as an actor, because he doesn't have any emotions. Well, he's not supposed to have any emotions.
They bleed through.
Yeah. I always felt like his character as Spock was wrestling with that. You know, like the times when he did show emotion, it was because of his human side, and he had to always suppress that human side of him.
Yeah. Yeah, I always felt like that was a bit of the Vulcan racism. When you hear them talk about their history, they are a very passionate people, but they suppress it. But yet, whenever Spock has a weakness of emotion, they always blame the human side.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, it was always my first encounter. Well, I guess I probably did see him as Spock first, but I always loved that TV show In Search Of.
Mm, yeah.
I don't know, when I was a kid, watching In Search Of, you know, they had like In Search Of UFOs, In Search Of Atlantis, In Search Of Bigfoot, you know, and I just remember his voice running me through all of these like mysteries from the world, you know. And I really think that had a big influence. Like, his voice and listening to him narrate those shows had a huge impact on me, and how to this day I'm very interested in all these ancient mysteries and things that are strange in the world, and, you know, want to believe that, even though I have a hard time believing it, I want to believe that UFOs have come here and aliens have landed and they've influenced us throughout history, and you know, in 2017 we're going to find out that it was real and they've been here all along, you know.
Hey, I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens.
and I want to believe in Bigfoot. I you know, of all the creatures that are around, you know, like Loch Ness and all those mm-hmm. things, and chupacabra and stuff, I think that the Yeti and Bigfoot have the most behind them, in that the evidence is there that they could possibly be real.
So you're a cryptozoologist at heart, then?
Yeah, I guess. I haven't been trained in any of it, so I wouldn't say I'm a zoologist. No, but
at heart, cryptozoologist at heart.
Yeah.
At heart.
I think watching In Search Of is the training.
I was going to say, actual training.
Yeah,
this is going to seem sacrilegious, but I don't think I've ever seen that. I don't think it was ever on. On TV where I grew up.
Yeah, you know, it very well could be, because, I mean, I feel like it was on for a season or two and then it disappeared and they've never repeated it, and I can barely even find all the episodes on YouTube. It's like you can find the Bigfoot one in pieces and a few other episodes, but, you know, I really want it to come out on DVD. I'm like, why hasn't this come out? You know, they got everything else on DVD these days. Why not In Search Of?
Yeah, no kidding.
But I definitely would buy it if it came out, just to relive those memories. But yeah, you know, I hope you rest in peace, Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and if people are interested too, just a few things to know about Leonard as well, is that he wasn't just an actor, he was also an artist, a photographer, and an avowed feminist.
Poet.
Yeah, poet, you know, I mean, he was a real Renaissance man. So there's a lot of avenues of his artistic expression to explore out there.
Jason just put a link up. There is a DVD box set.
Ta-da!
I should have said my affiliate code.
Yeah, it's only $135.
Yeah, 146 episodes.
Whoa, that's a lot. Wow.
That's Dude. Only like a dollar per episode. Think about
that's-
it.
I didn't know they made that many episodes.
I didn't either. I thought it was a couple of
seasons. Awesome!
But that looks like...
It'll pay for itself with your career as a cryptozoologist.
Yeah. Apparently he was searching for a lot of stuff.
I want to know what all the episodes are. Do they list them all?
Yeah.
I'm sure someone's review probably does, because they always have those people that review it, and they have like this 78-page review.
Oh, yeah, no kidding, right?
Well...
There is a list, actually. The first review,
right?
That goes for about a page and a half, has every single episode listed.
Yeah.
I'll the Man-Eaters of Savo.
I'll have to throw that on a Christmas list, and maybe in the future I'll get it.
I'm totally going to have to check out Robot Armageddon.
He did that way back then?
Yeah. Or Season 7 apparently has Mitch Pileggi in it, too.
Yeah.
Ooh, learning ESP. Don't mind if I do.
My car has ESP.
Deadly Ants! Oh my god, I need to see that episode! Deadly Ants! Oh no, they're ants!
Shark worshippers.
Well, they ate everybody in Indiana Jones.
Oh, this is so great.
Shark worshippers.
Psychic Sea Hunt! I need to watch all of these!
See, I told you they're awesome.
I remember these from Channel 13 in Seattle used to have them like late at night, and I'd like, you know, be bad and sneak out and watch TV when I was supposed to be in bed. And I remember these being on a lot, but oh my gosh, I had no idea there were so many episodes. This is amazing.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot.
Oh, this is so great.
Man, I can't believe that you totally called it too on the whole review thing. It's like, seriously, the first bloody review. And I'll tell you, there's some pictures here where they're showing some screen caps. He was sporting a very sharp-looking turtleneck back in those days.
Yeah, well, and then other times he was like, I felt like he was dressed like Carl Sagan.
Sagan, right?
Carl Sagan?
Yeah, he does have sort of like a Sagan-esque kind of look.
It reminded me of how Carl Sagan was dressed in Cosmos.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. How could you forget Cosmos? That was another foundational series right there. Oh, man.
Yeah, that one probably is what got my interest in space exploration, wanting to go. Yeah. And he's gone now, too.
Thank God for Neil deGrasse Tyson.
The new Cosmos is so much fun. I love it.
Oh, it's a blast. Spaceship of the Mind.
I like how they mix the old and the new. It's pretty nice the way they did that, yeah. Yeah, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Michio Kaku, Seth, whatever.
Michio Kaku is not a legitimate guy.
Well, I like him, and I like Seth.
He's really along the same lines as Deepak Chopra of just, he's just shoveling bullshit.
Well, he used to be pretty legitimate, and then he just kind of went off the deep end.
I think Deepak Chopra was the same way. He was pretty legitimate, you know?
Yeah.
And then slowly just got wacky.
They went to the funny farm and never came back.
Yeah, and got a lot of money, too, by doing that.
Yeah, yeah. It might have something to do with that, I'm pretty sure.
There's an incentive.
Well, you know, when you start to believe your own bullshit, then...
Yeah, that's sort of dangerous.
It's theoretical futurism, right?
That was what we're talking about Deepak Chopra, but...
same.
He uses... Deepak Chopra uses quantum and everything, and it drives me bonkers. I'm like, that's not what that word means! What are you doing? Stop!
Yeah, I love the,
I heard he put quantum tires on his car.
I love the Samuel Jackson from the Pulp Fiction, where he's like, oh, we're not supposed to swear on here, are we? But it's the, where he's got the gun, and say, you know, say quantum one more time.
I dare you!
We should find that quote and play it again. So, you know, I guess speaking of memories and everything, like, have you guys had a memory of, like, the past year that we've been doing this podcast of anything cool, anything fun that you really enjoyed? Like, a guest you really liked, or maybe an episode we did, a topic that you really thought we really hit the mark on and was really good? Can you remember anything?
Adam Lash.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You guys seem to hit off pretty good with that.
The Star Trek guy was amazing. Yes.
Alec Peters? Or Larry Nemesek? Yes. Or both?
Well, the whole how do you say that?
Axanar?
Is it Axanar? I always want to say it's something else, and I'm just like, no, I'm almost entirely sure that's not how it's pronounced. But that I'm still excited for that whole thing. So that interview got me ramped up.
I still check their Facebook fan pages like all the time. I love seeing all the new stuff they put up.
I want one of those models. I will have one of those models. Oh, yes.
It will be mine.
Yeah, I really enjoyed like Larry Nemesek and Lynn Zielinski there with the Enterprise and space stuff, because I think that's cool that, what, you know, actually going to space and doing all that.
Did you see the final, the orbiters? It's pretty great looking. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, it actually looks like a spaceship. I think it's pretty cool.
I was sitting there, when I saw it, I was like, oh god, I hope that doesn't get shot down. Someone's gonna look, see it, and be like, oh my god!
Aliens have landed!
No, it's just Enterprise in space. Enterprise in space?! Oh god!
Future!
In space!
Space future! No. Been like, you know, supposed to be in the far future, and it's now in the, you know, past for us, where it's just like, you know, or is it Earth 99, or what the hell was that? It was like supposed to be in like the year 1999, and
there was that TV show. Yeah, Jason, yep. You got it. Space 1999.
Space 1999, thank you. And it was like, yeah, we don't even have flying cars from Back to the Future yet, sorry.
We do have supercomputers that fit in our pocket.
We do have that.
Yeah, we do have pads from Star Trek a lot earlier than Star Trek had them.
Absolutely, which is nice. I mean, don't get me wrong. That is. I think that's just one of those examples of you know, sci-fi influencing, you know, the way that technology goes, you know, because you had a bunch of folks grow up with Star Trek: The Next Generation, who were probably like, when I grow up, I'm going to be an engineer. I'm going to make that shit.
Yeah. Well, you know,
all work for Samsung and Apple now.
But speaking of your future thing, yeah, like what was, so Terminator, wasn't that in 97 when the world was supposed to end, right?
Oh, Judgment Day.
Yep.
And we were supposed to have those kind of robots in 1997, and we don't.
Yeah, but you would.
Skynet's barely started.
Yeah, you would have had like a singularity though working on it, so. The process would have been highly accelerated.
I see. And then, Back to the Future wasn't one of them in 2015?
It's in 2015, but yeah. we still have a few months.
Yeah, the hoverboards.
It's October something. It's October 20-something.
Damage the timeline when they're in the
All right, office. I'm looking it up. October 21st. October 21st.
Remember, that's how we're supposed to dress. Remember.
Yes. Hey, what were you saying, Jason? This year we're getting the Nikes that Nikes that self-lace. one fake hoverboard and one real hoverboard that only works on a specific surface. But hey, it works. So, I mean, I'll take it. I'm kind of glad that we don't have weird cranial implants like Griff. And, you know, he was kind of a douche anyway.
What was it? Jaws 15? Was that? It was Jaws 15 or
Jaws like
whatever?
15 or 17 or something like
so
that.
So they better get it cracking, because I want to see all those Jaws movies right now.
You know, but those cranial implants are coming. I mean, that's only like one step away, right? I think we'll have them within 10 years.
I wouldn't be surprised.
We'll be able to jack our head in somehow to the internet.
Well, I mean, they're making huge, huge forays into biotechnology. I mean, I'm personally waiting for, the time when they can go ahead and replace spines, because that would be a phenomenal day for me.
Didn't they already grow one with like they did for Worf and Next Generation? Like, didn't they just grow one out of, like, fiber, that fiber printer stuff?
Wasn't it, like, a reinforcement?
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, they were able to do basically like a skin or muscle weave, kind of like oh my god, Cyberpunk 2020.
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah. So that's what they were able to do, which is crazy cool. I mean, that's just dropped in the last couple days.
Yeah, it was, I had just seen, you know, working at the bookstore there, I had just seen a magazine come through, if it was like Discover or Popular Science or something, and they had all the new artificial limbs, mm-hmm. and I was looking at them going, like, especially the arms, hands, and legs, I was like, wow, these things are, like, fully out, full-on, like Steve Austin stuff, you know, Bionic Man.
They're getting close. I mean, at this point, this just a couple months ago, they did a double arm prosthesis that was controlled by the guy's brain and nerves.
Yeah, exactly.
Although at this point, they can only move one joint at a time. They can't move everything in conjunction.
Lift a whole lot then?
No, like, as in they have to move their shoulder, then they have to rotate their arm, then they have to adjust their elbow, then they have to rotate the wrist. You know, it doesn't all work at the same time in conjunction with each other.
Interesting.
So it's a slower process, but it works. You know, and that's a massive, you know, proof of concept right there. They're moving in the right direction. That to me is like one step closer to Cyborg right there.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, because like the article was still talking in the sense of like people who have had an accident in some way or lost a limb in the war or something like that, and they would get these prosthetics, and it allows them to, you know, play sports or do all the other things that they would normally do.
Oh, sure.
But I was sitting here looking at it going, like, how come none of the articles bring up ordinary people who haven't lost a limb that are going to want to go through this process just to have the prosthetic? Because I could see a certain population of the human race going, holy cow, that's so cool. I'm just going to offer to get my arm chopped off and put this new bionic arm on.
Yeah, well, then you get in, self-harm and all kinds of other psychological things that will probably wind up affecting the medical community from doing that to you.
Because, like, I was looking at their fake eyes. They have, like, these new eyes that are coming out, and they said they're going to be released later this year.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually can see in different there are some they're developing that can see in different spectra?
Oh, yeah. Man.
So I was like, well, then wouldn't I want to replace my eye so I could see in infrared and see in ultraviolet and see in different spectrums so I can, I don't know, sure. I just think that would be kind of neat.
Sure would suck to get a monthly tune-up, though. Change your eye oil.
I don't know. It seems kind of beneficial for people like me who have early onset RA. You know, like, I already have destroyed knees now thanks to it. So I'm all like, I could get bionic knees. This could be beneficial for me. Mm-hmm. I would like to run again. That would be great.
Yeah. I definitely understand that.
Yeah. But I don't know. I just feel like they don't. They always leave out the voluntary part in those articles. I don't know. It's just something that hit me.
It might be
they
just
don't really allow voluntary at this point.
Yeah.
These are designed as, you know, prosthetic replacements, not replacements for functional limbs.
And no matter what they say, it's still not as good as the real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if I could see an infrared and ultraviolet, that would be pretty badass.
Yeah, but it's the way this tech stuff always works. They way overpromise, and then when you actually get the device, it breaks.
Oh, yeah.
Or like just breaks.
First,
that's true.
You can basically tell anything that power is powered by, like, the first three versions of Android, right?
Filled with lies.
Mads.
But it's your eye. Your eye is filled with lies.
Like Mads in your headphones.
Yeah. Well, then the idea that somebody could possibly hack into your you know, interface software and shit would be pretty awful.
You'll just see ads.
I can see is
adware.
Yeah, free eyes. God. Sure, yeah.
Yeah, well, just every time you're looking something up, you get a pop of it's like, would you like a larger penis? It's like,
yeah, you're driving on the freeway, and yeah.
What the shit? It's like, I wanted maps, dude.
I was thinking of bouncing fluffy bunnies, and he's thinking of giant.
Well, what kind of pop-ups do you get on your computer, man? I mean, I don't get very many fluffy bunny pop-ups.
Yeah.
But I do get a lot of things from Nigerian princes and people offering me larger
penis.
So, you know.
It's always a Nigerian prince, too, isn't it?
Always.
Pretty much. Yeah. I have several of those emails in my mailbox right now as we speak.
Still have time to act.
Yes.
It seems like an unlimited time to act, even though they do put a deadline on most of them.
Well, the only real limitation there is, how many transfers your bank can handle to Nigeria before it's, you know, completely empty.
Do you know anybody who's ever fallen for one of those?
Unfortunately. Yes.
You do, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Older lady.
Yeah.
Got conned into it, lost most of her life savings.
Oh, wow. That's awful.
Yep. Yeah.
I think the only scam I had Although I wasn't really falling for it. I had fun chatting with her for a long time, for many, many weeks. But there was a girl in Russia who kept asking on one of those, it was in one of those, like, do you remember
Back
in the day? I remember
John.
Back in the day when they had,
I didn't know you were looking for a mail order bride.
Exactly, right? But do you remember back in the day when they had, what was it, like IRQ or something?
ICQ?
ICQ.
Was it ICQ? Yeah. Yeah, she like got into one of our chat groups in one of those things and started chatting me up and everything and was like, if you send me $50, I can get, like, you know, and I just kept chatting with her but never sent her any money, of course. And then, like, for like weeks we were talking to each other, and then she's finally like, you're never going to send me money, are you? I go, no, because you're a scam. And she's like, damn it.
Also a man in New Jersey.
Yeah, probably, right? Yeah. She used to swim in the lake.
Was probably your roommate.
Yeah. He's in the other room. Yeah. He's in the other room laughing at me. He's like, damn it, I didn't get any money out of you. My friend Matt used to laugh because she would swim in the lake. She kept writing S-W-E-E-M. And she'd be like, I'd go swim in the lake. And my friend Matt would always be like, hey, how's she doing? Was she even swimming anywhere?
It's like, you know that accents don't transfer to written.
Yes, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
I'm going to swim today.
That was probably the clue that it was some guy in Nebraska, right?
Yeah. I better make this sound Russian. We're going to go swimming today.
Then we'll go bow hunting.
Oh, Lordy. Not to alienate any of our listeners over in Nebraska.
Or Russia.
Russia, Alaska?
Yes.
As Sarah Palin would probably refer to it, right?
Oh, God, no. No!
Oh, God.
Well, guys, maybe we should wander off into the woods ourselves, speaking of Alaska and the great outdoors.
Oh, is it that time?
Yay, bears!
I think it is that time.
All right. Well, hey, I guess I'll be seeing you on Destiny there, huh, Mad B?
Yeah, I'm probably actually going to go send the request later on tonight, so.
Voice.
I think Hooray! I can still chat with you guys on my PS3, so
yeah,
I'll add you,
you should
both
be able
to my...
To.
Yeah, I'll add you both to my chat network, at least, and...
Yeah,
when
for
I
sure.
get my PS4, then I'll be able to play games with you.
Yeah, when I moved up north, I had to get a brand new account. I had to ditch my American account. So, because I know, John, you had me on my American account, but I don't think you have me on my Canadian account. So,
yeah, I'll add you.
That's it.
I'll add the chaos and the cynic.
Hooray! And then you can make fun of me. God, she plays a lot of these weird games. What is she doing?
I don't think I've ever looked through to see what any of my friends on my friends list have been playing lately or looking at.
Well,
I just check the messages once in a while, and that's it.
I say you don't have to look very far for me, because it's pretty much Netflix, Hulu, Destiny, Netflix, Hulu, Destiny, Netflix, Hulu, Destiny.
For me, it's usually just Crunchyroll, Destiny, or Dragon Age. That's usually what's going on. But
I really need to get some more hours in Dragon Age.
I've already finished it once. I've got two other runs, and I'm like, just like, all right, who am I going to romance now?
Ah, see, I keep on thinking, every time I think about playing another game, I'm just like, damn, if I get my level 9 and level 5 up to level 20, that means that I can grind out more strange coins each week.
I play, I still play Burnout Paradise, because I love it. I like just racing games, because I can just tool around for an hour and not have to worry about stuff. And
that
racing
game is
games, you can go
so much fun.
Really fast and crash
things.
Into stuff. Yeah. And then I have I still play my little Big Planet once in a while, because I think that's so cool.
Oh, that's a great game.
Well, part two, anyway.
Have you ever played Journey on the PS3?
No, my brother played it, and I watched him play through it.
Oh,
but I never actually played it myself.
The most gorgeous game I've ever seen. Ugh.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's so perfect. I love that game.
God, I saw a gorgeous game that was underwhelming in pretty much everything other than graphics. The Order 1886.
Oh, yeah, the game that's only,
beautiful.
5 hours long, apparently.
If you're doing a speed run, it was 5.5 hours. My buddy played through it, I think, in 10. He bought it on Tuesday and traded it in on Saturday.
Aren't cutscenes seamless or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. They are just gorgeous. I mean, the atmospherics are amazing. The lighting is gorgeous. There's some serious, like, almost breaching the uncanny valley moments with some of the facial rendering. And you're just like, oh my god. Like for half a second there, you almost believe it's a real person. And it's like, wow, that's just impressive. But the controls are really floaty, like trash barge floaty, which is kind of a major problem in a shooter. And,
yeah, I heard it's all over the place.
Like you have to overcompensate for everything. And when I saw him swing, toward an enemy, it would float a good centimeter off to the right. Still, I was just like, are you serious? But absolutely bloody gorgeous. One of the most beautiful games I think I've ever seen. Too bad it falls so flat in other areas.
I'll probably wait for it to go on sale. I think I will.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey.
I don't want to pay full price for it.
Sure, it's worth a five spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it comes in the store, maybe I will. I just got Bionic Commando from the store.
Sweet.
But I haven't played it. I've had it sitting here for 2 weeks, but I haven't played it yet.
Dude, I love the original Bionic Commando game. Oh,
me
my
too. That's why
God.
I grabbed this one.
I played the hell out of that on my old PC back in the day.
See, I had the Super Nintendo, I think it was, Bionic Commando. Or maybe it was even a Nintendo NES one.
Yeah, I know it was on NES for sure. And then they did the Bionic Commando remaster a few years back on Xbox Live and I think PSN as well. And that was pretty fantastic.
Yes, I think I had that one too. Yeah, I remember that.
It just it reminded me just how much that game loved to punish you.
As a lot of Nintendo games did.
Oh my god, the Batman Nintendo game. That game taught me how to wall jump. Like that. That was like the damn boot camp on how to do like wall jumping and platforming. Holy crap! All right.
Well, anyway, we're coming up on an hour. Let's wall jump out of here.
All right.
Bing, bing, bing. Talk to you guys. Thanks for coming on, Rob. Thanks for coming on, Mad.
For sure.
Thanks for being here, Jason.
1 year, bitches. Woo!
Yeah. And we're on iTunes now.
Yay!
Make sure everybody reviews us.
Part of the Apple corporate machine. Woo!
I'm just going to give like a mean review.
These guys are
this is terrible.
I don't even know why anybody listens to these people.
What is this awful crap?
Oh my god.
You'll see a review up there. One of the girls that works in the mall, she's like, I'm just going to give you 4.5 stars, okay? And I was like, why? Why not 5? And she goes, because we don't hang out enough. And I was like, you should actually write that in the review. And she goes, I will. She goes, I'll give you 4.5 and say, this would have been 5 if he hung out with me more.
It's like, maybe that's a hint that she wants to hang out with you more.
She's married, dude.
Oh. You gotta, you know.
And she's married to Thor. I'm not going to mess with that.
Oh, hell no. I don't like the might of Mjolnir coming down upon my forehead.
I am not going to have the hammer come down on me.
No. All right. Get the hell out of Dodge, folks.
All right. See you guys later. Thanks for coming on.
Bye.
So today on the Super Awesome Geek Show, we've got a special guest coming on with us here at the end. We've got Elena Wellard. And who was it with you, Elena?
Josh Christensen.
Hi. Hi there.
I recently just discovered Things from Another World. That's what we're talking about, the comic store that these guys represent. And I'd like you to tell me just a little bit about, like, first off, the comic store is located in Portland, Oregon, right?
Well, we actually have multiple locations. We have a store in Portland, Oregon. Then we have one on the west side in Beaverton, and we have one in Milwaukee as well. And we also have a store in California, in LA on Universal City Walk.
Nice.
So we have 4 retail locations, 3 in Oregon, 1 in California, and tifa.com, which is our online.
Yeah. TFAW.com.
That is correct.
And you guys sell comics, you guys sell toys, statues, graphic novels.
Absolutely. Anything that every collector is going to be out there for. Graphic novels, comics, statues, toys, collectibles.
We have some apparel as well.
Mm-hmm.
Everything your geeky heart desires, we got it.
And you guys also do it but through the mail as well, right? You don't have to just visit the stores. You can, if you live in another state, you can get it shipped right to you.
Absolutely. If you don't have a local comic shop, you can go to tfaw.com and get all your geeky wares, and we'll ship it right to your door.
And we offer subscription services online as well.
Yeah, so people can just basically say, I want to get this every month. You'll pack it all together and send it out.
Yes, we can do that for you.
Absolutely.
And you can subscribe not only to comics, but graphic novels and all other cool stuff we got online.
So you can pre-order toys and like any t-shirts if you guys think you're going to get them in and things like that?
Absolutely.
Yes, and if you pre-order, you get a discount too.
Cool.
So if you want to get a even better deal, you should pre-order.
Yeah, and that's pretty handy for a lot of those toys, especially some of these. I don't know if you guys have been keeping up, but some of the Transformer toys that are coming out, this next year, almost everything coming out is going to be high on the list to grab, and the stores are just going to be sold out everywhere. So pre-ordering things like that, I think, is a really good idea.
Yeah, definitely a good way to make sure that you get your favorite stuff.
So I hear you guys are going to be at Emerald City Comic Con on the 27th of March. What are you guys going to do? You're going to have a booth and everything?
Yeah, we're at booth 302 at Emerald City this year, which is the same place that we were last year. We have our own island, so we're bringing thousands of graphic novels that we're going to be selling at 50% off, as well as pop vinyl figures. We got a lot of pop vinyl figures that we're bringing from every kind of collector standpoint, from Game of Thrones to Marvel and DC Heroes to Walking Dead and Disney's Frozen, those kinds of things. So those are $10 each, or 3 for $27. So we're pretty excited about that deal, and our customers really love it.
Yeah, that pop vinyl stuff has really started taking off this last year. I know people that are trying to collect like every single one, regardless of what series or franchise they're from.
Absolutely. They're really great, and just because they have so many licenses, there's something for everybody.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool that they're kind of local.
Yeah, exactly. They're from the Seattle area, so it's a pretty cool gig.
Yeah.
We're also bringing lots of statues as well. Black and white, Batman.
A lot of DC cover girls and Bombshell statues. We got some Game of Thrones statues that we're bringing, some really high-end kind of stuff, too, for the collector.
Nice. Do you guys have anything coming up related to any of the summer blockbuster movies, like the Avengers, the Star Wars stuff?
Yeah, we have a lot of Star Wars books and Avengers books that people can get for half off cover price at the show.
Nice. Are you guys looking forward to anything that you're going to be participating in the show? Like, do you want any panels or anything you really want to check out?
It is straight up work for us from morning till night. So unfortunately we won't be able to break away from the booth too much, cause we're going to see, many thousands of people, come through our booths.
Yeah. You don't have like any kind of you don't have enough to do a rotating shift or anything. Get to see
No. It's full out work mode. So it's actually a really great time. Emerald City is one of our favorite cons. They've done such a good job of cultivating the community, and we're really excited to be going back this year and representing TFA.
Cool, nice. So I always like to ask, since I am a geek show, I always like to find out, like, what do you guys geek out about? What are you really into?
I just started watching Game of Thrones from the beginning again a couple weeks ago. I'm caught up fully and everything, but I just started again. I'm in season 2 finally, and I'm really looking forward to the new season coming out. I'm looking forward to seeing how Arya Stark progresses.
Yeah, she's been a great character coming along.
Yeah, for sure. And then one book that recently came out, one comic that came out from Dark Horse, it's called Lady Killer by Joelle Jones and Jamie S. Rich. I'm really loving that series. It's a 5-issue miniseries at this point. The first two issues, they sold out. So
they went to second printing.
Yeah. Nice. So that one's, I'm really enjoying that right now.
I'll have to take some time out and check that out.
Definitely. We'll send you a signed copy.
Thank you. And Elena, anything that you really geek out about?
Well, I really love X-Files.
Nice.
Kind of said that, the show is over, but I really love that. And another thing that I'm really excited about coming out is the Fight Club 2. And Dark Horse is publishing that. We got a variant cover for Tifa, exclusive cover. and we're actually going to have Chuck Palahniuk and Steve Lieber, who did the cover for us, at a signing at our store on June 15th.
Oh, wow.
Fifth. So it's going to be pretty high-profile event, and I'm really excited about that. So, yeah, we have a lot of stuff going on.
That's going to be really cool. Just June 5th, right?
June 5th.
Yes. And which location will that be at?
That's going to be at our Portland store.
Okay. Wow, that's going to be awesome. To have Chuck Palahniuk there is going to be really cool.
Yeah, it's a really good get for us, and we're just so thankful that he's able to stop by our shop. And actually, he's going to be signing for quite a while.
Yeah, he's going to be signing for 7 hours.
Holy
from
cow.
3 in the afternoon till 10 at night.
Wow.
He has, you know, roots in Pacific Northwest, so his signings are always anticipated in Portland. You know, everybody wants to go, and he's extremely generous with his fans, and he loves to just hang out and sign, and so we're going to be doing that with him. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that does sound awesome. Yeah, my Jason, one of the co-hosts on our show, told me about that upcoming comic, and I was kind of interested to see what they were going to do in the comic format with that story.
It looks incredible from what we've seen so far. We'll send you the first issue of that, too, so you can check that out when that comes down the pipe.
Thank you. You guys are very generous. Oh, this will be awesome. Yeah, so is there anything else you want to plug? So the website's tfaw.com. You're going to be at booth 302 at Emerald City.
Yeah. Just put us first on your list, because we tend to sell out quickly of really popular titles. We're coming with a lot more than we have in the past, so chances are good that you're still going to find great deals and great products at our booth. But check us out each morning, because we have restocks too. So
yeah, there's always more than you can fit out in the first day. So
absolutely,
yeah. I'm gonna have to check it out, because there's a few graphic novels I know that I've missed that I've been waiting to find some deals on. So I'll have to stop by and check it out.
For sure. And for your readers, we'd like to offer a couple signed books too, or for your listeners. Yeah, cool. So we got the Flash number 1 signed by Brian Buccellato and Francis Manapul. That's from the reboot that the DC did a couple years back. The X-Men primer graphic novel signed by Brian Wood. That one was really popular, as well as the first issue of Spider-Gwen, signed by series artist Robbie Rodriguez. So we'll be sending those up to you so that you can give them away to your listeners.
That'd be great. Yeah, we'll put up a Twitter or Facebook contest and give them out as a random thing. Yeah, that'd be great. Cool. Well, Josh, Elena, thanks a lot for coming on and chatting with me for about 10 minutes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll see you at Emerald City Comic Con, booth 302, right?
That's right.
Correct. Thank you for having us.
There you have it, Things from Another World! And yes, we will be giving away those issues that they graciously decided to send up to us as giveaways for our listeners, for all you guys out there. In the week leading up to Emerald City Comic Con, keep checking our Facebook and Twitter pages, and we will put up contests for each of those issues. And one of those things, whichever one I feel like is the coolest, of course, I will put up on the weekend itself of Emerald City Comic Con. So, you know, during Emerald City, we will have that awesome contest going on as well. One thing I should add, next week, Friday, there won't be an episode put up because we will be at Emerald City Comic Con ourselves. So you can join us back here in 2 weeks, sitting in 2 Fridays, and we will have episode 53. But in the meantime, check out our YouTube channel, Super Awesome Geek Show on YouTube, and we will be posting probably daily short videos about all the things that we saw while we were at Emerald City. And so check that out, Super Awesome Geek Show on YouTube. All right, see you guys in 2 weeks. Keep it geeky out there, everyone.
You've been listening to the Super Awesome Geek Show with John Adams, Jason Rigdon, Eric Locke, Matt B., and Rob Clifford. The Super Awesome Geek Show is part of Kingdom of the Geeks. We put up new episodes every Friday. You can find us on iTunes and on the website at superawesomegeekshow.com. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/superawesomegeekshow. Follow us on Twitter at Awesome Geek Show. And if you'd like to help, you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/superawesomegeekshow. Or make one of the purchases of our fine toys, art, and collectibles on the eBay store, stores.ebay.com/kingdomofthegeeks. All your support does help, and we really, really appreciate it. If you'd like to be on the show, just contact us, superawesomegeekshow@gmail.com. Well, that about wraps it up. Thanks a lot for listening, and see you next Friday on the Super Awesome Geek Show!